Would you grab your Bible or maybe whatever it is you've got the Word of God downloaded on? Let's make our confession together. It's going to come up on the screen. Let's say this together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You believe that today? The Word of God changes our lives, our situations, and everything around us. Would you take your Bible and go to the book of Mark, the 4th chapter? Now, today I'm beginning a new series called Storms. And here's what I have found in all of our lives is that we have a tendency to be in one of three places in life. That is, we have either just come out of a storm, we are either going into a storm, or we are in a storm. And life kind of lives that way. How many of you found that to kind of be true? It's kind of like, okay, it's okay right now. And we get a little nervous because sometimes it's too good. And we go, okay, what's getting ready to happen next? And so the passage we're going to be in today is in the book of Mark, the 4th chapter. And actually, over the next few weeks, we're just going to follow Jesus as he goes out of Mark chapter 4, verse, and then Mark chapter 5. And we're going to see the different kind of storms that people endure in their life. So let's begin there. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" Verse 41 answers that question. "They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Now, all of us have experienced storms in our life. I can remember years ago in Adamsville, we had a tornado. A few years ago, we've had a couple of tornadoes here in Madison County in this area. And we've had those storms that have come about in the midst of our lives. And it's in those moments where we find that life all of a sudden gets a little interesting in the midst of a storm. The storm that these disciples are going to experience was sudden. They were trained fishermen. They were experts at what they did, several of them, and they go out on this storm, they go out on this lake, and they are not expecting a storm. If they had been, they would have stayed on the shore, waited for it to go by, and then they would have gone in. But they in this moment, find themselves in a crisis, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the storm, which is a crisis of life. I think most of us have experienced that at some point in our life, that it seems like everything was going along well, and then in a moment, in an instant, we are ripped up, and it seems like our whole world turns upside down. I got thinking about crisis. Where does crisis come from? And I want to share with you three places I think crisis come from. Number one is crisis comes because we live in a fallen world. Okay, we live in a fallen world that is messed up. In fact, the Bible says that this earth is cursed, that Satan is the god of this world. Let me help you. When everybody starts saying, "Why would a good God let bad things happen to good people?" It's not a good God that's doing that. It's Satan that's doing that. Amen. Satan comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And so the earth is under a curse. And so crisis comes about because we live in a broken world. And here's what I found out is that a broken system produces crisis. All right? It doesn't matter what the system, it can be a broken governmental system, it can be a broken banking system, any kind of system that's broken really brings about crisis in our life. The second thing that produces crisis are people who are in our life. How many of you have ever had some friends and family members that put you in crisis? Don't punch them. Some of y'all doing this, cut that out, right? I mean, can you imagine being those guys going to Nineveh and everything's good until Jonah gets on board, right? And Jonah produces a crisis for everybody else. Here's what I found out. The mess in somebody else's life affects us, right? Family members, friends, if you're an employer, your employees, the messes that's in their life affects us, and so crisis is produced. The third way that crisis comes is because of my own rebellion and disobedience to God. Now, we don't like to talk about that one, do we? We'd rather talk about those other two. But there are moments in our lives where we find, in fact, the Word of God tells us that when I disobey God's laws, there are consequences. All right? The Bible talks about we sow to the wind, we reap a whirlwind. Everything that God does is in seed form, and when we sow the wrong kind of seed in the wrong kind of ground, we're going to reap a harvest that is going to be destructive in our lives. And so that's how crisis comes, and you can study that a little bit because I want to kind of dig in to the lesson today, and I want to show us some things about this. So would you look back in your Bible, verse 35 and 36, because I want to kind of take us with the disciples and their crisis and how that parallels how our life is as well. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, now that's important, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. Now, the first thing that we see here is that Jesus gave them direction, all right? Jesus spoke to them and said, "Hey guys, let's go to the other side." How many of you have ever felt like, maybe I'm the only one, how many of you have ever felt like that you felt like God told you to do something or there was a word from the Lord or whatever, and you were excited to do it, and then all of a sudden happens? Anybody been there? Anybody experienced that moment? It's like, man, I'm so excited to go do what God said. God spoke to me. God told me. I know that I'm supposed to do this. And then all of a sudden, everything turns upside down. Now, here's what I want to say to you, because I found through life, I've been pastoring for a little while, and I'm always meeting people who are telling me, Pastor, I believe I'm supposed to do this. I believe the Lord wants me to start this business, or he's wanting me to go to school, or whatever it is, or God wants me to end this ministry. And I'll ask them, I'll say, "Well, how long have you felt that way?" "Well, about 10 years. Now, let me say something to you. When I receive a word, I should obey. Okay? Now don't miss that. When you get that word, get obedient. Don't sit around for weeks and weeks and months and years, because here's what happens. Excuse me. The Bible says that the Word of God, and when we read this scripture about the Word of God, we always think this word, and it is talking about that, but it's any word from God. The Word of God goes forth like seed. And the Bible says that when it goes forth, that the enemy immediately comes to snatch it out. All right? So God tells you, go do this, and if you're not careful, you're sitting around trying to plan, trying to figure it out, trying to do all the stuff, and what happens is in that moment, the enemy shows up, rips it out, and now you're trying to do what you're supposed to do, but no longer do you have the seed of what God told you to do it with. Are you hearing me? And now you're performing it in the flesh, and it's always going to fail if it's not in the spirit. Don't miss it. Some of you wonder why your nose is so bloody. It's because you keep running into the wall. You keep going and saying, "I know God said, I know God said, I know God said," but God spoke it way back here, and you weren't quick to obey. You've got to understand that there is a purpose for the word in the moment. Okay? When God speaks it, remember the story where Peter came to Jesus and he said to Jesus, "Lord, the tax collector is here and they want their taxes." Remember that story? And Jesus said to him, "Hey, Peter, get a line and a pole and go down to the fishing hole." That's in the New Edea version of the Bible. All right? Get a line and a pole and go down to the fishing hole. And the Bible says that Peter went down there and he threw out the line, threw out the hook, pulled up the fish, and guess what? Opened its mouth, and inside was a gold coin to pay their taxes. Now, let me say this to you, and don't miss it. If Peter had sat around all day, waited till the next month to go and do it, how many of you know that he would have never caught the right fish? He could have fished all night long, would have never caught it because he had not obeyed God in the moment. There is a moment, there is a kairos moment where when God speaks, you better obey. And watch this, Jesus never sends us alone. I've read this scripture numerous times. I've preached it from, you know, how many times? And I never saw that the Bible says, and there were other boats with them. Watch this. Anytime Jesus sends you to do something, you're never alone. He always sends other people to go with you to enable you to fulfill the role that he has called you to fulfill. And so you need to look around and say, who is it that God has with me to help me fulfill the plan that I have for my business, the plan that I have for my family, the plan that I have for my ministry, whatever it is that God has somebody with us. Now, the Bible says that they left the crowd to go to the other side. And I want to show you something. You sometimes have to leave a great place to experience what God has for you. Well, don't miss this. Some of you need to hear me today. All right? Great things were happening where they were. But the Lord said, let's leave this. Why? How many of you have ever heard the scripture that says that God takes us from glory to what? To glory. From glory to glory. So we're like the three apostles on the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus is there and there's this whole encounter and Peter walks up and says, Lord, we want to stay here. And that's what happens to us in life, is that we get to a good place and we never, ever want to leave that place. I remember years ago when God spoke to Sherry and I to come to Jackson. And I want to be honest with you, it was at that point in my life, I had determined I was going to be in Adamsville and they were going to bury me, you know, under the pulpit or something. I had been there at that point about 18 years. The church was growing, had grown every year that I had been there. We had seen multitudes of people saved, lives being changed. It was just great. It was a great time. And I remember where the Lord began to speak and say, it's time to go. And I'll be honest with you, I was going, really? What's up? Lord, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go. I don't want to go somewhere else. I'm set. I've said this for years. You know, I'd been there so long, they couldn't run me off because I knew where all the bodies were buried. Right? And God said, no, I want you to do this. And I kind of halfway did. I said, well, here's what I'll do. I'll go start it. I even told my deacons, I'm going to go start this church in Jackson. I'm going to turn it over to a young guy, and then I'm coming back here, all right? And that was my plan until about 2 years in. God said, bam, he shut the door completely and said, you're going. So am I the only one kind of takes me a while to find out what God's saying, right? Okay, so second, look in verse 37. I got to get with this. Verse 37, it says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Now, the second thing that happens is that we have to understand crises are unexpected. You don't expect a crisis, right? If it was expected, it wouldn't be a crisis. They heard Jesus say, let's go the other side, and they just know we're going to the other side. How many of you know in the moment when everything's wonderful, it's easy to serve Jesus? Right? I mean, come on. When you're at church and the worship team's leading you and you feel, oh, man, I feel the presence of God, it's easy to be saved at church. Well, unless somebody gets you saved. Right? But what happens is that all of a sudden a crisis comes up. You know, and there's all kind of crises. There's death. There's bankruptcy. There's family issues. There's health issues. There are all of those things that come up. And when a crisis hits, here's what we find. First of all, a crisis creates uncertainty. Okay? In that moment, how many of you know you were doing good until the problem got there? I mean, when you, can I just talk to you? Y'all all right? I mean, when you got married, oh, baby, it was going to be wonderful until. I mean, you stood before God and everybody else and said, for better or for worse, but you didn't hear that worse part. You heard for better, for richer, in health, right? You didn't really mean. What's wrong with y'all? You didn't really mean for better, for worse, in sickness and in. No, I want everything to be good. And then, how many of you have been married? And they lived happily ever after. That's why we call those fairy tales. Because it's in that moment that that crisis comes out, and then all this, I must have married the wrong woman. I must have got the wrong man. No, you're just living. Just life. Chill. Right? In that moment, crisis makes the future feel threatened. It's like, I don't know we're going to get through this. I didn't know they didn't know how to put the toilet lid down. I just dig right where you're living. I didn't know she couldn't cook like my mama. Don't ever say that. You will get sent home to mama. I almost did one time. And here's what, I mean, these guys, the tempest comes up, the waves come up. I want to tell you, the third aspect of crisis is it's a time of great emotion. It's like, whoa, we got to do, I mean, they're bailing, they're hot. Can you put yourself in that boat for a minute? It's not, you know, a cruise liner. It's a boat. It may be a decent size, but it's not huge. And they're screaming at each other. They're hollering at each other. I would just dare say the Apostle Peter is using a few of the Apostle Peter words that he knows. Y'all know he still remembers them, at the time of the crucifixion, right? And they got all this stuff happening. And here's what happens to us, and I want to challenge some of you to hear me. In the moment of crisis, don't make a rash decision. That's where we quit when we ought to keep going. Well, Pastor, there's a storm. I'm going to turn around and go home. It's going to follow you home. Well, I'm going to go around it. Well, if you go right, it'll go right. If you go left, it will go. It will find you. Learn how to go through the storm. Because if you go through the storm, you will arrive at your destiny and at your destination. If you keep backing away from the storm, if you keep trying to go around the storm, you are going to stay diverted from what it is that God wants to happen in your life, and you're never going to fulfill your destiny that God has for you. So you've got to be when it happens. Yeah, it's emotional, but don't make crazy decisions in those moments. In fact, here's what I want to say to you. It's not original to me, but I want to tell you something. Don't make the wrong kind of decision. Don't make that decision that is a permanent decision in a temporary situation. Because this too shall pass. Look in verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" The third thing about this story is that the disciples feel abandoned. Right? In this moment, they feel like God has forgotten them. Ever been there? Now, I know it's church. And I ask you this sometime, but I haven't asked you in a long time. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone to church? Church, you ready? Church can be the phoniest place on earth. Let me prove it. You're going through one of these moments. Somebody shakes your hand. How you doing? Everything's great, brother. I've never understood this one. I'm on the top limb waiting until the next one grows out. I don't even know what that means. This is, are you ready? This is the moment you know they're lying to you. Ready? when they say, everything's great. There's never been a day in your life where everything was great. I mean, there's always some kind of something happening, right? And yet, if we're not careful, we come in this moment that we don't even admit, you know what? I only came to church today. You ready? Not me, but I'm saying I've been there. This just doesn't happen to be one of them. I just came to church today because I was supposed to. Or I just came to church today just saying, God, if you don't do something today, I'm not going to make it. Some of us have been there. In fact, I think if we're honest, a lot, if not all of us, have experienced that. See, in that moment that you feel abandoned, it's that intense feeling that no one cares. Jesus, don't you care that we drown? I mean, you're back here laying, you're laying up on a pillow back here. What's up with that? See, we're totally insecure in that moment when something like that happens. And you know what I've found through the years is that I only feel abandoned if I trust somebody. Okay? Some of you have gone through the process of divorce as a child, or one of your parents was absent during that. And you feel abandoned because that person you trusted in left you. See, if you don't trust somebody, they can't abandon you. See, I have it happen all the time. I have people come up to me and they say to me, Pastor, I am here. This is my church. Praise God. I love it. And they go on, and this is where I get really scared. Because they say, God sent me to this church. And I go, oh. Not another one. You're all right? Because what I found so often is 3 months later, they're God schizophrenic. Because I don't see them at church. They don't show up. I run into them somewhere, some restaurant or somewhere out, and I say, man, I've been missing you at church. Oh, Pastor, God sent us to so-and-so's church. You know what? I don't get really too worried about those people. But people who come and they walk with you and they're there in the trenches and they fight with you. I don't mean fight, but they fight against the enemy. They're supportive. When somebody like that walks, it hurts. And that's where we've got to come to is in this moment where we feel like we've been abandoned. We've got to go to the one who has the answers. We've got to go to the Lord. We've got to quit looking to try to figure it out. Let me say this to you. Jesus had told them to go the other side. If he directs me, then he will take care of me. If God said to you, do this, and you're doing it, we've all heard the cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. Where God guides, God provides. But it does not mean that you're not going to have a storm every once in a while. You're going to go through some stuff in your world. Look in verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. The fourth thing is, his word, God's word, restores order. When God speaks to whatever the situation is in your life, the Bible says, John 10:10, I mentioned it earlier, says, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you would have life, and it life more abundantly. So that whole aspect we have to understand. So God says, I want to give you life abundantly. Now, here's what you have to understand. Get it? You ready? I don't know how many of you have noticed, but we've started in the last few years, and I want to phrase this properly. We're buying stuff for our houses that we used to throw in the dump. No, okay, let me just explain it to those of you who don't understand. I walk into furniture stores and even high-end decorator shops, and they've got you know, this big chest sitting there that goes in your bedroom, and I look at it and go, man, that one must have fell off the truck. Anybody understand? I mean, it's like somebody took a hammer to it, and then they took an anvil, and then whoever was painting got tired. And they quit. And they say, well, you can have this for $4,000. I said, I can have that for free. I just saw it at the junkyard. Because we're into restoration, right? We're restoring things. Well, let me say this to you. True restoration is always by the Spirit. When God gets involved in your mess, He is the only one that can restore it. And it's fun here to watch this. Jesus deals with the cause of the storm. The Bible says that He speaks to the wind and to the waves. Now, what we do is we speak to the situation. Am I the only one that does that? We speak to the other disciples that are on the boat. You're not bailing quick enough. What do you mean sitting back there waiting for somebody to hand you a bucket? Find one. Am I the only one that has that anointing? I'm driving yesterday. Y'all know it's not going to end pretty. But there's one or two people that don't know my driving. So I'm driving yesterday, and I get up here at a certain intersection, and it's a yield to get on 45. But not only is it a yield, we got a green light. She stops. And I went into deep travail and intercession praying for her. God, I just pray over her right now that you just bless her. She's having a tough day. Now, if you know me, I didn't do that. I laid into my horn. Hope it wasn't any of you. If you were right up here yesterday getting on 45 and somebody honked at you, I admitted it was me. Okay? And she pulled on up, and I got on, and you know, let's go. And the second Holy Spirit in my life, my wife, said, what's wrong with you? You're not in a hurry. I'm always in a hurry. She's lived with me for 38 years. What's wrong with her? See, God has a way of speaking to the issue. We have a way of speaking to the symptoms. The symptoms are never going to cure the crisis. We have to find out what is the reason for the crisis and then allow God to minister. Here's what happened. The Creator spoke to the created, and it came into order. Jesus, the Creator of everything, spoke to it, and in that moment, it lined up and came into order. Look in verse 40. He said to His disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, the answer to that is in the next verse where it says, and they were terrified. See, the fifth thing that happens in this story, and I think that we need to see, is that Jesus corrects our doubts. Let me ask you a question, those of you watching as well as those of you here, and I want you to be honest. How many of you have ever doubted God? Lord, there's some people in the house today that they lie. I pray for them right now that they'll just be forgiven of that lying spirit and they'll get set free today. Now, Had Jesus not said, let's go to the other side? He had. But what happens to all of us is that we forget that in the midst of the storm. Here's what I want to say to you. You can't be moved by the storm when you've got a word. When there is a word from God, I don't care what's happening around you, you have to come back and say, wait a minute, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I come back to the last thing that God spoke to me, and until he tells me something different, I'm going to believe his last word to me. I'm not going to give up because we got a little crisis going on, because there's a problem happening. See, Jesus looks at those disciples and he said, paraphrase, what's your problem? Now you say, why would he say that? Well, he had already chosen them and he had already given them authority. What should have happened in the moment that the storm arose, they should have stepped up and said, by the authority that Jesus Christ has given me, wind and waves, sit down. Because they had the authority. And if you don't believe they learned that, by the time you get to Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4 and further, you'll find that Peter and John, on their way to prayer, seeing a certain lame man laying at the gate, beautiful, asking for money, said to them, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we give you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the Bible says, and instantly he's healed. You find them going from Mark chapter 4 to Acts chapter 3, and they now understand what they've been given. See, here's our deal. Our problem is we forget our authority. We keep asking God to do things that he's already given us the authority to do. God, could you do this? And God says, I've given you the authority. Why do you think he's rebuking them? Does this make sense? Why is he rebuking them? He is rebuking them because they did not operate in the anointing that he had released to them. See, here's the deal. The solution for doubt is to know God will do what he says he will do. When I know that, then I don't let what's happening. I just grab a hold of his word and I hang on. I hang on. He's there. We're going to be all right. We're going to make it. Verse 41 basically says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. The sixth thing about this whole thing is that our understanding of him grows in the midst of something like this. See, the disciples were on a journey of discovery. All right, they're on this journey just like us. We're on a journey called Christianity. And every time that Jesus spoke or performed a miracle, their understanding increased. In your life, every time God shows up, it helps you to believe that he can show up the next time. And your understanding goes, I know he did this, therefore I know he can do that. The Bible says that faith is like a grain of mustard seed. And we always talk about the littleness of the grain of mustard seed. And it is. A little bit of faith will take you a long way. But the scripture goes on and says that faith, that seed, is planted into the ground and it becomes a tree that the birds of the air nest in. In other words, every time God does something on your behalf, your understanding grows and your faith grows. And here's the deal about my faith growing. My faith grows in seasons of crisis more than any other time in my life. When I see what God can do in the middle of that is when I know that I'm growing. Let me say this to you and we'll wrap it up. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Well, Pastor, I don't have any faith. Maybe it's because you don't know what God's called you to do. I went into ministry when I was young, 21 years old. I didn't have a clue what God was going to do. 25 years old, I took my first church. But I remember, and I can tell you, I can take you to the place. We were living in a house in Memphis. I was working on staff there. I'm standing beside, there is an old water heater in the kitchen of all places. I don't know why. Couldn't do that now. That's just wide open. It has a flame in it, the whole thing. And I'm standing there, and I'm talking on the phone to somebody about the church in Adamsville. I'd already been told, don't go to that church. That church is going to chew you up, spit you out, all the stuff that they told me about that church. And I'm standing there, and I still remember it as though it were yesterday. For some reason, I felt the Lord speak to me. I didn't hear an audible, but I felt the Lord speak to me and say, if you go, I'll give you revival. And as he said it, I heard the water heater kick on. It was like fire went. I want to tell you, for the first 18 months, and for those who are watching in Adamsville today who are there, for the first 18 months, nothing happened. I mean, if I got a nod when I preached, I thought I had preached a T.D. Jakes sermon. If they just went, amen, I thought, praise God. I have to set this up real quick and I'll close. So everybody get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. But we were in that church, and that church had wooden floors underneath the seats, and then it had carpet in the aisles when I first got there. And I'm telling you, nothing had happened. And on a Wednesday night, I'm teaching. And you got to understand, this was a traditional Pentecostal church. And so I'm teaching, and I'm telling you nothing. When I say nothing, I'm not being rude about the people, but they'd been through like three splits before I got there. I mean, it was just a mess. And I'm looking, it was a long shotgun building, and I'm looking to the left, and all of a sudden, a machine gun goes off. It was like, brrr, I was ready to hit the deck. But I looked over, and this little old lady named LaJean, whatever I had said, had hit her, and she got up and did one of those old school Pentecostal dances. It freaked me out. When I tell you there was no sign of life, there was no sign of life. But I remembered time and time and time and time and time again what God had spoken as I stood there talking on the phone. See, here's what I want to share with you as I wrap it up. We are not exempt from crisis just because we're believers. I hope some of you are writing this down. Because remember, you either just got out of one, you're going into one, or you're in one. Number two is never forget who's with you. If God's on board your vessel, you're going to make it. Sometimes our faith disappears, but our God never does. I may not can see him, but he's there. And lastly, God's word is always enough. Now, there's some of you who are here today, and as you've listened to this, you said, wait a minute, I hear all that, but what does that mean, God's word is always enough? Well, watch this. All of us came in a relationship with Jesus Christ through his word. We heard somebody say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we said, I can receive that. We heard that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And we said, I can believe that. That's how we get into the kingdom of God. And that's how we live every day in God's kingdom. So you may be in a storm today. Hang on. Because if God told you, you're going to go to the other side, I promise you, you're going to make it to the other side. Amen.